Today, I'd like to share with you a profound subject, Abhidhamma, and how to put this Abhidhamma into your practice. What is Abhidhamma? Abhi, Dhamma is a compound word. Abhi and Dhamma. Abhi is higher, sublime. Dhamma is teaching or ultimate truth. So Abhidhamma is concerning higher teaching, dealing with ultimate truth. There are two types of truth. One is called samudit satya, conventional truth. Another one is called ultimate truth, paramattha satya. What is conventional truth? We say there's a person, you, I, house, tree, ocean, building, all these are conventional truth for communal usage. And then it seems that truly exists, but if you can penetrate deeply, you can find there can be subdivided again into more minute details up to the four elements. So what actually exists is only four elements. But because we cannot penetrate into its ultimate truth, we think that exists as it apparently exists. An ultimate truth is something so when you analyze conventional truth, finally you will reach ultimate truth. What is ultimate truth? In Abhidhamma, there are four types of ultimate truth. Number one, consciousness. Number two, mental factor. Number three, matter or materiality. And number four, divine. So only four ultimate truths are discussed in the Abhidhamma. So what is consciousness? Consciousness is just pure awareness of an object. Pure awareness, pure knowing an object is called consciousness. And mental factors arise depend on consciousness. Mental factors assist the consciousness in the total act of cognition. For example, you want to know this is apple. Consciousness cannot understand this is apple. With the help of various mental factors, then only consciousness and mental factor can recognize this effort. Okay. Then number three is rupa matter. Matter consists of four elements and the 24 types of materiality derived from the four elements. Consciousness, mental factors and materiality, these three are called conditioned dhamma. Why they are called conditioned? Because they're produced by causes. They are produced by causes. And the causes are impermanent. So the effect, consciousness, mental factors, and matter, they are the effect of the causes. Since the causes are impermanent, the effect cannot be permanent. So all consciousness, mental factors, and materiality are all subject to change, subject to fading away, subject to cessation, to ceasing. But the fourth ultimate truth is divine. Divine is the cessation of mind and matter, the cessation of consciousness, the cessation of mental factors and the cessation of materiality are called Nibbana. And Nibbana is unconditioned because Nibbana is not produced by any causes. So it's unconditional. Since it is not produced by any causes, it is permanent. It's permanent and it is happiness and non-self. Now we will discuss the consciousness. In a snap of finger or in a blink of eye, billions of consciousness arise and pass away. Trillions. Trillions of consciousness arise and pass away. So when you blink your eyes, trillions of consciousness already arise and pass away. So consciousness arrives at tremendous speed. And because consciousness arises at tremendous speed, so when you watch television, when you watch television, it seems that you watch the image, your eye can see the image, your ear can hear at the same time. And sometimes, you're eating something while watching television, so you also, the tongue consciousness also arise. Sometimes you sit there rocking your lips and so on, so body consciousness also arise. So it seems that when you are watching television, ear consciousness, eye consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness seems to arise at the same time. Why? Because consciousness arises and passes away very swiftly. One blink of eye, trillions of consciousness already arise and pass away. And you cannot discern such tremendous peak of arising and passing the consciousness. That's why you talk. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness arise at the same time. And at one moment, consciousness arises one after another. This is very different from mental factors. We have learned mental factors arise 33 together, sometimes 18 together, sometimes 20 together. But consciousness at one moment, only one consciousness. There cannot be two consciousness at the same moment. That is the important thing. One moment, only one consciousness arises, passes away, one after another. So if you identify consciousness as I, if you identify consciousness as I, and since consciousness only lasts for one moment, then you are dying at every moment. If you identify consciousness as I, since consciousness arises and passes away every moment, then you are dying every moment. Okay. How consciousness works. For example, consciousness, how consciousness operates. How the feeling occurs. How your mind can think something. Okay. Before I explain further how the consciousness operates, I would like to introduce you Bhavanga first. We have two types of cognitive process. One is called cognitive process, one is called process three. If this three is cognitive process, then process three. The mind, when seeing something, then cognitive process arises in order to recognize what visible object the eye has seen. After seeing the whole seeing process finished, then the mind will lapse into Bhavanga state. At this moment, you cannot discern Bhavanga mind because mind is so sweet. But in your meditation, you can discern this Bhavanga mind. Sometimes when your concentration is very good on your breath, you can concentrate well on the breath. And concentration becomes deeper and deeper and deeper, almost like one to sleep. And at this moment, suddenly you lose your mindfulness. Then your mind falls into bhavanga. This bhavanga is very peaceful state. And yet, you do not know anything. You do not know anything, but it's very peaceful. So, those who don't understand this bhavanga mind state, they may misunderstand they have reached nibbana. They think this state is nibbana. I remember when I was in IMS, there was a teacher discuss with me. He has this problem, you know. He said his mind always, he's a meditation teacher. His mind always fall into a very peaceful state. Like he doesn't know anything. And he had asked so many teachers. He said no one can answer this question. So when I explained to him this is bhavanga state, then he started to realize. So only those who have abhidhamma knowledge understand this bhavanga state. In this world, only few people have abhidhamma knowledge. So you can experience in your meditation. Sometimes the mind falls into a state very, very peaceful and yet do not know anything. And because it's so peaceful, then you start with craving. May I fall into this state again? Because you incline your mind to fall into this state again, then it will occur again and again. Falling into this state, is it good or no good? No good. You don't know anything. Not so useful for developing of wisdom. Okay. So now before a visible object impinges eye consciousness. Now I'm trying to introduce you eye door cognitive process. Before an visible object impinges eye sensitivity, and the mind is at bhavanga state. Because there's no object come to contact with six sense door, so the mind must be at bhavanga state. There are only two possibilities. One is cognitive process, one is process free. Only these two only. So when there's no cognitive process, then the mind is at bhavanga state. Okay. What is the bhavanga state? Number one, now suppose an invisible object impinges eye sensitivity. Then first is called past bhavanga. One bhavanga, mind, one moment arises, passes away. Then second moment, vibrating bhavanga arises, passes away. The third moment, arresting bhavanga. Bhavanga start to stop. Bhavanga was arrested. Stop. If bhavanga does not stop, then cognitive process cannot arise. You cannot eye cannot see. So bhavanga must stop in order to give way to cognitive process. So the first one is five door averting. So when a visible object impinges the eye sensitivity, the first cognitive process is called five door averting. The mind starts to avert to this visible object. The mind does not know this is color, does not know yet. So the mind starts to inquire what is this? Then after this consciousness arises and passes away, the second we call eye consciousness. Eye consciousness starts to see the color, to see the visible object. He does not see the whole thing yet, he does not see the apple yet. He only knows its color. Color impinges eye sensitivity. It's a striking color to the eye sensitivity, that's all. So eye consciousness only see the color, that's all. Does not know the whole thing yet. Then arises, passes away. Each moment arises and passes away, arises and passes away. Then followed by receiving consciousness. Receive this object. Receive the color object. Then followed by investigating consciousness. Investigate what is this object. Then passes away, followed by another new consciousness called determining. Determine, this object, this is the color, or this is more sure about this color. After that, followed by seven javana. Javana is called javana, impulsion. Impulsion consciousness. Seven javana. One after another. This seven javana either is wholesome or unwholesome. Previously, averting consciousness, five door averting consciousness, eye, ear consciousness, receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness, and determining consciousness. Not good or bad. No karma. Not wholesome or unwholesome. But when reach the jhana, seven jhana, wholesome karma and unwholesome karma, that is the form at this stage. Then followed by two, registering consciousness. Register what has been seen. Then the mind, after that finished, the whole thing process finished, the mind lets into Tonga again. So we have 17 mind moments. From the past Bhavanga up to the registering consciousness, we have 17. Why only 17? Because this color of the color is matter, materiality, rupa. If the lifespan of rupa lasts for 17 mind moments. So after 17 mind moments, the lifespan of this color disappears, passing away. So is mind faster or matter faster? Only 17 mind moments arise and pass away. Then only one rupa passes away. So this means that mind is much faster than matter. Okay. Now, this eye consciousness, this we call eye door cognitive process. Only see the color. Does not see the form yet. Does not know this effort yet. Then what to do? In order to see more clearly, after this eye door cognitive process, followed by Bhavanga, how many Bhavanga we do not know? So after Bhavanga, followed by mind door cognitive process. In order to see clearly what is this color. Whether it's rose, whether it's ocean, whether it's house, whether it's human being, or whether it's an apple. In order to see very clearly, followed by many mind door cognitive process. Okay. The first mind cognitive process is in 1523. The mind cognitive process. First is vibrating. Vibrating bhavanga. Okay, so far up to this 5 floor, do you have any question before I proceed? Yes, yes. Javana's impulsion. I will explain that impulsion. The mind, Javana literally means run swiftly. Jawana, important. Literally means run swiftly towards the object in order to comprehend the object more clearly. It's called jawana. So it runs 7 times. The same consciousness runs 7 times in order to see this color, in order to comprehend this color more clearly. It's called jawana. Right. One rupa.
What is the color?
Color is rupa.
Is that the rupa that encompasses
our eye?
Yes,
yes. And that actually changes the dark eye. Right, right. But why you can see continuously? Because it keeps on thinking. It keeps on thinking. Color also a rising, passing away, rising, passing away. We cannot see a rising, passing away because our wisdom is not penetrative. We think it's the same color. You know, actually the color is also arising and passing away. I hope so, yes. I will explain later on, you know. Any other question before I proceed? Because it will become a little bit complicated if you cannot follow this one. The later part will be more complicated.
The Vanga is wholesome or unwholesome, or always unwholesome?
Good question. Bhavanga is resultant consciousness. We have four types. By way of nature, consciousness has four fold. One is called wholesome consciousness. By mindfulness, all these are wholesome, mental factors. We have wholesome consciousness. We have unwholesome consciousness. We have resultant consciousness, and we have functional for arahant, functional, cannot create karma, so we call functional consciousness. And Bhavanga is resultant consciousness because it's produced by past karma. So it cannot be good or bad, resultant cannot be good or bad, but karma can be good or bad.
Eye consciousness
only lasts 1 moment. Eye consciousness.
So it's only the one after step.
Only lasts for 1 moment.
Which is step number E.
So eye consciousness only lasts for 1 moment.
So when people say there is six consciousness.
Six consciousness?
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Six consciousness for somebody ears. The whole process is called EIDO, cognitive process. Now it's cognitive to cognize the things like this. But eye consciousness only lasts for 1 moment just to aware of color only. After pass away, eye consciousness pass away already.
So what I know that what I
know is that because we have 89 types of consciousness. Six is general. Six, for example, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness. We have mind consciousness. Six mind consciousness, including more than 70. It's including mind consciousness. Mind consciousness. Okay. 89. 89 exclude 5. How many? It is 4, is it? Then the remaining is 84 consciousness. So averting, 5 thought averting, receiving, determining, all this mind consciousness. Accepting alone is called eye consciousness. And this eye-door cognitive process, ear consciousness cannot arise because it's eye. So ear consciousness is not involved here. Okay, now we go to the mind-door cognitive process. Because now eye-door cognitive process only see color. Does not know what is this. So in order to see clearly, we need the help of mind-door cognitive process. Okay? That we understand the whole cognitive process first. Number one is spirit vibrating pavanga, then arresting pavanga, mind-door averting consciousness, and seven javana. Now seven times. Javana must arise seven times. Always. In the sensual places. In the sensual realm. In the human realm and in the deva realm. When meeting with a sensual object, javana must arise seven times. But if you enter into jhana, jhana can arise medium time. Taking anapanna in the size of it, jhana can arise medium time. That is jhana consciousness. Now we are talking about the sensual consciousness. So must arise always seven times, except during dying moment. During the dying moment, the mind is so weak, so jhana only arrives five times. It's the exception only. Okay, so then jhana. So at this jhana, wholesome karma or unwholesome karma is performed and strengthened at the jhana stage. Then followed by two, registering consciousness. Then the whole mind, door, cognitive process finished. After one cognitive process finished, the mind must let into Bhavanga. This is the law. Law. Why? Because mind cannot stop flowing. If mind stops flowing, cannot. Even you pass away, also mind cannot stop flowing. After you pass away, that consciousness arises, immediately followed by rebirth consciousness. There's no gap for the mental stream. No pause, no gap. Except one exceptional. When the Anagami and Arahant enter into Nirodha Samapatti, attainment of cessation. At that time, because why Anagami and Arahant enter into attainment of cessation? Because Anagami and Arahant always see this mind and body, five aggregates, keep on arising and passing away, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. They feel so exhausted. They don't want to see the arising and passing away anymore. They feel so tired. You cannot stop the mind not to see. Because the phenomena keep on arising and passing away, and the mind has to keep on seeing. They feel so tired. So they enter into a state where the mind temporarily sees. This is called Nirodha Samapatti. Only Anagami and Arahant who possess its Samapatti, its attainment, can enter into this Nirodha Samapatti. So not for us. So because mind cannot stop flowing, so after mind-door cognitive process, the mind must, Bhavanga consciousness must arise and pass away, arise and pass away, in order to preserve the continuity of mental stream. So what is the function of Bhavanga? The function of Bhavanga is to preserve the continuity of mental state. Is it clear? According to modern science, brain. According to Buddhism, it's heart. Okay. So at this moment, I forgot one important thing. Every consciousness arises. Consciousness only can arise when there is object. Without object, consciousness cannot arise. So consciousness must arise taking an object. Without object, consciousness cannot arise. So this eye, door, cognitive process takes what object?
Color.
Okay. Now color has passed away because 17 moment already. The lifespan of color has passed away already. Now my door cognitive process arise. Take what object? Part of that light, part color, because you know when you see you can remember. So this mind door cognitive process takes part color, the color which has already passed away as object. The first mind door cognitive process. Okay. But still not clear what's that. Whether it's apple or table or computer, still not clear. In order to know more clearly, another mind-door cognitive process. The second mind-door cognitive process. Okay. What are they? Repeat the point. Vibrating malanga, arresting malanga, mind-door averting consciousness, seven jhavana, two registering consciousness. Then mind leaps into malanga again. Because this cognitive process finished. So second mind door cognitive process, take what object? Take the form. Form. For example, apple, the form of apple. Start to come up, start to appear. Mind is very fast, So when the moment you see apple, you know everything. But actually, already so many thought process already arise and pass away. Later on, you still don't know this apple yet. You don't even know the name is called apple. So now another, the third mind door cognitive process arises. The same process. What are they? Vibrating malanga, arresting malanga, mind door arresting consciousness, seven javana, two registering consciousness. Then the mind left into malanga again. So this third mind door cognitive process. See, know the name, apple, label it, apple, know already, apple. Okay, and then we didn't say apple, we say chocolate chip. Okay, this is chocolate chip, so the mind recognized already, chocolate chip. Then, when you start, the mind starts to recognize this chocolate chip. What is your decision? What is your reaction? Either like or dislike. Either like or dislike. Then you start to create karma at jhana state, at the seven jhana state. Because now object become clearer to you, your reaction becomes strong. Before that,
blur, don't know what shape, you know, still not clear, the secret is not appear clearly to you. So the karma you perform at the eye door connected process, seven jhavana, all karma performed at the stage of jhavana. So but at this stage, eye door connected process, because the only color not so clear yet, but you still perform jhavana, you still perform karma, because some people also like color, red color, you know, although it's not clear, the red is still like the color. So at this stage, you also perform the karma, but not so strong karma. As my door, first my door, second my door, connected process, third my door, connected process, the object becomes so clear to you. So the karma you perform, whether you like it or you do not like it, becomes stronger. The karma becomes very strong. You know not yet it yet, you know. Just develop the liking, also the karma is performed at the jhavana stage. And to stop the liking or disliking, it's very important at the stage of a mind door averting consciousness. Mind door averting consciousness has the sense of investigating and determining. Determining whether this chocolate is good or bad, whether it's beautiful, not beautiful, and so on. So if at the mind door averting consciousment you determine is not good, not delicious, then you don't have the liking. At this moment, at the point of mind door averting consciousness, how your mind pay attention to that object is extremely important, especially when it comes to practice. So at the mind door averting consciousness, if you pay attention to that object as pleasant, as beauty, as lasting, as happiness, then the great, the craving, the great will arise. But if you pay attention before jhavana, if you pay attention that object is not beautiful, impermanent, suffering, non-self, then the great, instead of the great, the wisdom will arise. You got it or not? So the way you see things, the way you pay attention to things is very important for wholesome jhana to arise or unwholesome jhana to arise. So if whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you taste, whatever you touch, if you just pay attention to impermanence, suffering, non-self, then will follow wholesome jhana will follow after that. But if you pay attention to this beauty, this pleasant, this happy, this eye, then unwholesome jhana follow after that. And if you develop this one, we call it Pali, we call Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention. Wise attention is a cosmic cause, the near cause for all the wholesomeness. How can you, in Buddhism we want to cultivate wholesome. How can we have the wholesome all the time? It's by way of wise attention. Whatever you see, you hear, you taste, you touch, you sense, you just pay attention impermanent, non-self-suffering. Impermanent, non-self-suffering. Then all the wholesome jhana will follow after my door averting consciousness. But if you see whatever you see, oh, this beautiful, no? This woman so beautiful, this chocolate cake so delicious, this so good, everything you think is good, then your craving arises again and again, because you pay attention to the good side, to the good object.
And you think it's lasting, lasting, huh? This object lasting, 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 permanent, permanent. Because you keep attention in such a way, then the unwholesome sawana will arise. Not only seven times. Huh? One mind, door, cognitive process, follow after another, follow after another, follow another. Until your craving is satisfied. Don't know how long it lasts already. Huh? And if sawana lives behind karmic potency, if sawana lives behind karmic potency, when this karmic potency matured, you have to pay for it. And can imagine one snap of finger, trillions of consciousness arise and pass away. Even you enjoy one taste for 5 minutes only. 1 second, trillion consciousness arise and pass away. If you enjoy your food for 5 minutes, how many consciousness associated, rooted in greed has arisen and passed away? How many? Uncountable. He cannot count. Just like, don't think lightly, I want to enjoy, I can enjoy any time. Don't think lightly of evil things. Because you do not see the effect, you do not see it lives behind so many karmic potencies. Okay, now let me tell you, if sawana lives behind what type of karma? You go to the test, 10:30. This mind door cognitive process. Mind door cognitive process. If sawana lives behind its karmic potency, the first sawana generates immediately effective karma. It can only produce its effects in this very, very life. Sometimes people do dana. Sometimes people do dana, then their business becomes good. And this is caused by first sawana. Produce results in this very life. You can see the effects in this very life. When you do dana or when you observe sila, your lifespan becomes long, you can feel the effect in this very life. And this type of karma is generated by first sawana. We have seven sawana. Okay, now we see number seven sawana. Seven sawana generates effective karma, which can produce its result in the immediate future life. For example, you kill somebody out of anger. You kill somebody. And when this number seven jhana ripens, then it produces your rebirth in the four vohu states in the next life, immediately next life. If the seven jhana ripens, the first jhana ripens, you experience the result in this life. But if the seven jhana ripens, you reap the result immediately future life. And if the first jhana not ripened, for example when I do dhamma, and this my a lot of seven jhana arise passing away. When I do dhamma, a lot my door cognitive process arise passing away. But if first jhana produce immediately result. But if the first jhana does not get the opportunity to ripen, the cause and condition are not there for the first jhana to ripen, then the first jhana will become defunct karma. Ahosi karma, defunct karma, not operative karma. Same as seven, number seven jhana When I do, you know, dana, I'm supposed to reborn in the heaven next life. But in the next life, this seven jhana does not make the opportunity to ripen. The conditions are not fulfilled. So this jhana cannot produce results. It becomes defunct, non-operative karma. Now, I want to ask you a question. First jhana produced results in this real life. Number seven jhana produced results immediately in future life. So, which jhana bears heavier karma? This life or next life?
This life.
Suppose now you are 50 years old. You do karma. You do dana. You do dana, then immediately produce a result. You become millionaire. But you only have 30 years to enjoy your million, to be a millionaire. But if this karma produce certain in the future life, you are reborn in the heaven. You know? You enjoy longer, much longer than the present life. Or if you do not reborn in the heaven, you born very, very rich family from first 1 year old up to 80 years old. You whole year long hope you enjoy your prosperity. So we can the seven, future life bear better karma. So don't be so short-sighted. No, I mean, you cannot see the present effect. Why you cannot see the present good effect? No, you better expect the future good effect. Okay. But in middle, we have seven jhana, exclude first and number seven, the middle we have five. And these five jhana are very important because they generate indignantly effective karma, which can produce its effect at any time along samsara until one reaches parinibbana. This is very terrifying karma. For example, Mahamoggallana. Mahamoggallana, in his past life, he beat his parents up onto death. Because of this karma, he beat his parents onto death. Because of this karma, for example, one neck of finger or one blink of eye, trillions of consciousness arise and pass away. Now you think he beat his parents. Just say 5 minutes, onto death, 5 minutes. How many trillions of consciousness, how many jhana has arise and pass away? Uncountable. So he has, he has done so many unwholesome karma, latent, in his mental stream. So he beats, let's say for 5 minutes, so many billions of jhana has already accumulated by him. So after his death, in his past life, after his death, because of this unwholesome karma, he was born in hell. Born in immediately, this caused by seven jhana, number 7-1. He paid his karma, he was born in hell. And suffered 1,000 billion years in the hell. After he came up from the hell, he was born as human being. For successively 200 lifetimes, he was scarred. He was beat until death, till his scar was broken into pieces. All his scar, every time he died because his scar was beaten until become, green. So you see, he beat his parents only one time. He carries his akala uncountable times. And not only that, during his last life, because he already become arahant, during his last lifetime, he is almost in psychic power. So one day, and because he's very famous to convert non-Buddhist to become Buddhist using his psychic power, so many people care for him. So want to kill him. So one day, there are 500 robbers came to his kuti, his rolling place, want to kill him. But Venerable Mongalana has psychic power. Immediately he knew the robbers coming to kill him. So he used his psychic power, flying through the roof, fly away. So when the robbers came in, cannot find anybody. The first time. The second time, this robber came again. Then Mongalana knew again. Robber coming to kill him. So this time, using his psychic power, he fly out through the keyhole. So when the robber comes in, cannot find him. Okay. After some time, the third time, the robber can't want to kill him again. Mongalana knew because he has psychic power. So he want to enter into jhana because he want to use psychic, he want to apply psychic power, he must enter into jhana, fourth jhana. So he want to enter into fourth jhana, but he says he cannot enter into jhana. Why? His karma. His karma to be killed right then already. So karma is more powerful than psychic power. So he cannot enter the jhana. So the robber came in and stick him onto that until all his body, bones, scattered. But he is not dead. Why? According to the text, saying that right hand disciple and left hand disciple. Buddha has right hand disciple, Venerable Sariputta, and left hand disciple, Mahamangalana. These two are very, very important for to Buddha to disseminate the teaching of a Buddha. So these two disciples, before enter into Parinibbana, they must ask permission from the Buddha first, before they can die. So at this moment, Mongalana has not yet asked permission to enter into Parinibbana. He was distant, almost dead, but not died yet. So after the robber thing that, all the robbers think that he has dead, so they went out. Then at that time, Mahamongalana regained his psychic power. Regained his psychic power, then he joined together all his all his bones, all his, then using his psychic power, he fly to see the Lord Buddha and ask permission to enter into Parinibbana. And the Buddha granted him permission to enter into Parinibbana. So his karma one time beat his parent. Don't know how long, maybe 20 minutes or 5 minutes. One time beat his parent, only one bad karma he performed. Then he went, he was suffered in the hell. Then he was before a human being, his scar was always bitten until died. Even the last lifetime he was foremost in such a power, also cannot escape from this bad karma. Okay, so I would like to ask you a question. Why an action done only one time, you've got to pay the result for a billion times? Yes, right. Because one action done, billions of jhana arise and pass away, and each jhana leaves behind karmic potency. Just like Buddha in Dhammapada say, don't look down, don't belittle small evil act, small evil action. You think small evil action, the result will not come to me. Because such a small evil action, you think the result will not come to me. Buddha said, don't think like that. Huh? Little by little, you accumulate more and more. And also, doing the little small good act. Small good action. That's a small thing I don't have to do. I do the big one. Don't decrease the small act, good act. Little by little, you accumulate more and more. That's why the teaching of the Buddha say, avoid all evil. To protect you, yourself. Not because of command, you should not do this, no. To avoid all evil in order to protect yourself. Because whatever evil you have performed, it leaves behind karmic potency, which you have to pay for it when time runs, when time reaches. So if you love yourself, you must avoid all evil. Control your desire, control your anger. Avoid. And cultivate good for the benefit and welfare of yourself and for others. So now, in this Javana state, when you do the wholesome thing, at this Javana state, now we are talking about consciousness only. We not yet talk about mental factors. Consciousness arises one after another. One moment only one consciousness. But it must be associated with at least 7 mental factors. Sometimes 10, sometimes 20, sometimes 33. We only will discuss what mental factors associated with Javana. Apart from Javana, the rest are not so important. Why? Because not involving karma. Not so important. You can neglect it. But the Javana are so important because it's for your welfare and benefit. So we want to see what mental factor associated with consciousness. Ask the meditator to be mindful during eating. I always ask you to be mindful of four elements, aware of your feeling, aware of your craving and so on. If you are not mindful of your four elements, not mindful of your feeling, not mindful of your craving, then you are sure to enjoy your food. This material. You are sure to enjoy your food. Okay, now let us see how the mental factor arises during eating, during your eating time. Okay. The first one, consciousness. Consciousness and mental factor must arise together. Mental factor cannot arise alone, and consciousness also cannot arise alone. They are two good friends, always together. But consciousness is the forerunner. Mental factor is a follower. The first one, mental factor is called contact. Now, suppose you are eating. You are taking your meal. What type of cognitive process arises? What type of cognitive process? Cognitive process. On one? Followed by what? Followed by mind door, many mind door. So tongue door connected process arrives. The tongue door connected process, same as this one, replace the eye with the tongue. Okay? Replace the eye consciousness with tongue consciousness. So now it's tongue door connected process. finished followed by naming my door. Sometimes then again tongue my door, a tongue door connected process, because the foot keep on touching your tongue. So the tongue door connected process keep on arising, and you keep on, and you also keep on react to the, you know, foot. So the my door also keep on arising. My is very fast, huh? One sense in the billions already. So tongue door connected process and my door connected always arising when you are taking your meal. You cannot be sure because so far. And you are not mindful, you enjoy your taste. How can you know? Okay, so now we see, when you are enjoying your food, huh, what will happen? What happened to your mind? Okay, now we will see one by one. The first one is mental structure of contact. Huh? You can see personality. Unravel the mystery of mental structure. The mental sector of contact performs the function of causing the consciousness and taste to intense. What actually the meaning of contact is not a physical contact. Contact is mental sector. The coming together of consciousness, taste, and the tongue sensitivity, the coming together of this three is called contact. Without bodily contact, mental, for example, now you think of pineapple, or you think of sour plum, you start to feel the saliva flow in your mouth. The pineapple does not come and touch your tongue. It didn't come and touch your tongue, but you also can feel the flow of white because of mental contact. So contact is mental, it's a mental factor, it's not a physical contact. So without contact, the whole cognitive process, the whole cognitive process cannot take place. So contact is very important. Okay. Then the second one, the mental feeling experiences the taste. Enjoy the desirable aspect of the taste. Each food has its desirable aspect, a pleasant aspect. So the feeling, the mental sector of feeling, starts to enjoy the experience, the taste of the object. It's not you, I, a person, a self, experience the taste of object. It's a mental sector of feeling. Apart from the mental factor of feeling, there's no self who experiences it. Then the next one, you perceive. You perceive, oh, this is sweet, this is sour, this is bitter. This is perception. Perception, perceive this sour, this sweet, this bitter. So you must recognize this perception. The perception is also not self, not a self, it's just a mental factor. And not a sign, If you first time you taste the things, the taste you never taste before, so first you taste, then the perception will make a sign. Oh, this thing is bitter. And next time, when you see it again, the perception can recognize, oh, this is bitter. Okay, so this is the perception. And the mental set of volition generates the karma. Because you like this taste. So the mental sector of volition generates the karma of greed. So mental sector of volition has two functions. One, mental sector of volition organize or urging all the associated mental factors. We have many mental factors. For example, a general when in a battle, in a war, there's only one general and many soldiers. So the general will say, go forward. So all the soldiers will follow. And the general
himself also had to fight. The follower also, the soldier also had to fight. But the Christian leader organized and urging all the associated mental factors to do work. That's why it's in a, it's called mental factor of volition. Okay? And because it itself also has to fight, just like it generates karma. Buddha says, karma, kirtanahang vikrave karma vadani. I declare volition is karma. Okay. Then followed by the mental factor of one consciousness fixes all the mental factors towards the case. In order to know the case, your mind must concentrate on the case. Only you know what case is. This is called mental factor of one consciousness. Then in the next, the mental factor of life faculty sustain the vitality of associated mental factors so that they will remain alive and endure until they finish the task. And the mental factor of attention directs the mind to the task. Without this attention, sometimes when the mind is thinking something, there's no attention on the case, you do not know the case, although you are acting. You do not know the case because there's no attention. So, attention directs the mind towards the case. So, this is seven. What are the seven? Please read for me. First, mental factors, contact. Second, feeling. Three, perception. Four, volition. Five,
one point.
Six, life faculty. Seven, perception. This seven is called universal mental factors. Why they call universal mental factors? Not only because they arise, accompanied with all consciousness, whether it's wholesome consciousness, unwholesome consciousness, resultant consciousness, functional consciousness, this seven must arise. Without this seven, you can't even recognize what is that. What is this black, blue, what is this six? You can't recognize at all anything. So this seven is called universal. Must arise in order to help consciousness to recognize what is this, what is that. So it itself becomes good only when it associates with wholesome. It becomes bad when it associates with that. Now we have another six occasional mental factors. Also helps to achieve consciousness. The mental factor of initial application of mind is the guy. To place the associated mental factors onto the case. After you direct your attention to the case, then the mind plays, just like you observe your breath, same, the mind keeps on plays on the case. So you know the case more and more. And after that, another mental factor sustain the application of mind, sustain the associated mental factors on the case by letting the mind ascend the case again and again. Or anchor the case again and again. Not again, anchor. Stay in on the case. Let the mind stay in on the case again and again. It's called sustain the decision of mind. Then the mental factor of decision, the current, decide, this is good case. Beautiful case, wonderful case. Then the mental factor of energy supports the associated mental factors so they will not collapse, especially helping the greed to arise. When you eat your favorite food, this factor tries to help your greed or craving to arise again and again. And the mental factor of joy gives a certain interest in the case, delight, delight in the faith. It's called joy. And the mental factor of desire is the desire to get the taste or to let the great arise again and again. So these are called six occasions. The previous one, seven, is called universal plus six occasional, so we have 13 mental factors already. Now again, if this person is not enjoying the taste, so we have unwholesome universal mental factors, which arise with every unwholesome consciousness. The mental factor of delusion or ignorance conceal the true nature of the taste, which is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and impure in nature. Impure in nature, when the food goes into your mouth, come out, it's not good. Go in is good, come out, not good. Or when you eat the time, you chew, then you spit out, you see whether it's pure or impure. It's impure, Now you cannot see. Why? Why you cannot see impure? Because delusion has covered it. Ignorance has covered it. So we think it's pure, it's good, taste, it's beautiful. Then another mental factor. The mental factor of sinlessness. Of sin of wrongdoing. When you enjoy your taste, you do not feel sinful. You still enjoy, you do not feel sinful at all. So at that moment you have sin of as you have sinlessness of wrongdoing. You do not feel sinful. And also you do not feel fear. You don't have fear. Why do you feel fear? Yes. You do not fear of generating the karma by enjoying your food. You do not fear of it. You think it's very evil. So at this moment, you have delusion, you have sinlessness, you have fearlessness of wrongdoing. And the last one, restlessness. When you enter your food, your mind is restless. Very restless. Unless you pay attention to the four elements, if not, your mind is so restless. So the mental state of restlessness makes the mind disquiet and distracted. Not composed while enjoying the taste. So this calls for four unwholesome universal mental factors. When your mind is in evil sight, all these four must arise. They are universal to the unwholesome one. I cannot escape. These four: delusion, sinlessness of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, and restlessness. So whenever you have unwholesome consciousness, these four must accompany you, must accompany that unwholesome consciousness. Okay. Then, because you are enjoying, you enjoy a lot of craving for during your eating, then there's a mental factor of greed. This mental factor of greed, which keep enjoying the taste, grasping onto the taste, not wanting to give up. So you want again. This is called greed. You must recognize it. If you do not recognize it, then you become this slave. But if you can recognize it, then you contemplate your greed. That's impermanent. Okay, the next one, the last one, the mental factor of wrong view. Interpret wrongly that food
really exist or that food is beautiful, not beautiful in the ultimate sense, or really exist in the ultimate sense. In the ultimate sense, the food is composed of only four elements. If you can see food as four elements, then you don't have the wrong view. But if you see food as food, then you have the wrong view. So when you are eating in your breakfast time or lunch time, if you are not mindful, this or 20, I think 20, that's not that account again. 7 universal, 6 occasional, so 13, plus 4 unwholesome universal. How many? 13 plus 4, 17. Plus 1 greed and 1 wrong view, so 19. And this 19 mental factors plus 1 consciousness rooted in greed. We have consciousness rooted in greed, rooted in anger, and rooted in delusion. So now it's rooted in greed because it will delight in the food. So one consciousness rooted in greed accompanied by 19 mental factors we have just discussed will arise in the jhana state. It's in the tongue door arise at the 7 jhana state. But because at this state, the state is not so clear yet. So the greed also not so strong. But when you reach the mind door, the taste becomes so strong, your reaction, your craving also becomes stronger and stronger. So if you enjoy the food for 20 minutes, how many jhana, unwholesome jhana, rooted in grip, have already arrived and passed away in your mental state? Please count. How many? If you eat without mindfulness, uncountable. If jhana lives behind karmic potency, if jhana lives behind karmic potency, so in this 19, so while you are experiencing the food, in this 19 mental factors, which one is I experiencing the food? Which one is I enjoying the food? Okay, which one experiencing the taste of the food? Feeling. Which one continually enjoying you want to let go of the food, the taste? Great. Okay. So you analyze one by one, you find non-self. There's no self. It's a combination of the mental factors and one consciousness that act harmony together. Then there's no self who is experiencing the pain. If you want to know, if you want to say it's self and that feeling, feeling is very predominant. Feeling and craving is very predominant when you are eating your, taking your meal. So this morning we have tried 34 when observing your breath. Because when you are observing your breath, it's wholesome. So wholesome we have 33 mental factors plus one consciousness. But when you are eating with greed, then we have 19 mental factors plus one consciousness rooted in greed. Just like I said, not all the time 34. Sometimes 20, sometimes 15. Okay, so far any questions? Is it clear to you? Is it clear to comprehend? Clear? Clear? Good!
This bad karma, dhavana, is sufficient to produce a rebirth consciousness? That's strong for you?
For the eye door committed to the mouth. For eye door committed to me, the jhana cannot produce rebirth consciousness because the object is not clear. My door is here. My door is. Then you will become, maybe go to a four woeful state or maybe if you were born as a human being, because you always like delight in the food, you will become a person who is so greedy for the food. Who is so greedy for the food.
Where there is mental factor
structure.
We have a town
door. In the Javana state.
Mental factor.
In the Javana state.
In Javana.
Yes. Each consciousness must arise accompanied with mental factor. You know? For example, I consciousness only 7 mental factors. The 7 universal I consciousness only 7. Then the next one maybe 10, 11, you know, but what we discussed just now all arrive at the Javana state. Because Javana only wholesome and unwholesome, only involves in wholesome and unwholesome. Other, no, other are resultant or functional, no karma involved.
So it could be the Javana state of the in the tongue door, also could be the Javana state in the mind door.
Yes. In the tongue door we have Javana, in the mind door we also have Javana. But in the tongue door, the karma is very weak because the object not clear. In the mind door, especially the object, mind door also, first mind door, second mind door, when the object becomes clearer, the karma also becomes stronger.
This mental factor also creates calm.
Yes.
So what do you mean? The Javana state creates karma, but how the mental factor?
Javana state consists of consciousness and mental factor. No? Javana itself is consciousness. Javana itself is consciousness. You know? So it cannot arise alone, must arise accompanied with mental factors. So actually mental factors responsible for karma. Actually mental factors responsible for karma. For example, greed responsible for karma, anger responsible for karma, pollution. Javana 7 must be the same. Yes. It's anger or anger. You know? Anger, for example you let's say just now you eat. Great, Javana, all of it. But after sometimes you realize that no good. Then you pay attention to 4 elements, then the Javana change to the wholesome one already. Next my dog connected process change to the wholesome. The 7 Javana become a wholesome one, rooted in wisdom. If you change that to the good Javana arise again, 7 good Javana arise. If you change that to the good arise again, depends on how strong the mindfulness. If the mindful all the time, then there's no good arise at all.
If you know you like good food, but when you're eating it, you're aware that it's impermanent. So you get any bad karma?
You get good karma.
Good karma.
That's why I say you don't have to be afraid of your craving. You don't have to be afraid of your anger. As long as you can contemplate it, impermanent grief arise impermanently. Just look at the impermanency of the grief. Grief arise, you can feel the grief. Then look at this grid, look at it and mentally contemplate, mentally note impermanent. See the grid impermanent and see it pass away, until it pass away. But if you cannot contemplate, you don't know how to contemplate, then you should be afraid of your grid or your anger. If you know how to contemplate, you don't have to be afraid of anything.
Then, where is the knower of the thing? If there's an awareness of grief, that suggests that there's a knower. knows that it's greed. Where is that knowledge?
There is knowing but not knower. In Buddha speaking, we always say this. There is knowing but no knower. Knower is created by yourself. You create it, you want to point to it. Because the mind says clearly to somebody, you know, behind that. Yes. Because of your own thinking. Because our culture always says there's somebody behind, you know. So you still want to find a knower, a person, or control. Huh? There's no doer. There's evil, but no evil doer. Of course, of course. For example, the foot, the tail is the cause, touch the tongue, and the whole process arises. It's also dependent on origination. The cause of contact, depend on the contact, feeling arises. So when the tail touches the tongue, then feeling arises. Then the whole process also arises. This whole process is still ongoing. Then craving arises. Then craving arises. And if you can stop contemplate feeling as impermanent, then the whole process changes again. Changes to the wholesome side again. It's all dependent on origination.
Is the
Javanna,
is that the
claim and creating that where that starts? Yes. All start at the Javanna stage. But before Javanna is my door of awakening consciousness. Because you are not familiar with the process yet. My door of awakening consciousness, before Javanna stage, if you can pay wise attention. Before you eat, you pay wise attention to it. This taste is impermanent. Then craving will not arise. But the moment you touch also, craving may not arise. It's okay, you pay attention. Keep mindful of taste also impermanent. No? Craving also impermanent. If you keep on noting, your craving ceases. When craving ceases, clinging ceases. When clinging ceases, becoming ceases. When becoming ceases, there's no birth, decay, death, and so on. So this practice is moment to moment, moment to moment. And when you observe your mind also moment to moment, arising and passing away, each consciousness, moment to moment, arising and passing away, sometimes you can feel the consciousness, arising and passing away. So when you eat the hand, you sometimes observe the four elements. Sometimes you observe your mind. I always tell you, sometimes you observe your mind, see the feeling, see the craving, all this mind. When you observe your mind, you pay attention on your heart here with you. Because all the mind springs up from the heart here. Any other questions?
I don't understand how you say that it is good karma if you are paying attention. What would be the result of that good karma as an example?
Wisdom.
But in a future life, what would happen?
Then you become a person full of wisdom. When I say impermanent, you immediately say it. Some people I say didn't come so they cannot get it. I remember one time I give the talk, I keep on asking, I tell with another speaking. I keep on asking them to contemplate impermanence, whatever arises in your mind, whether it's feeling. You know it's feeling, but do you know it's unpleasant feeling? You know. Let's say it's sorrow. Do you know you are sorrowful? You know. Knowing is awareness. After knowing, you take this sorrowful as your object and see mentally look impermanent. So I repeated many, many times. After I finished, then the yogi asked me, sister, how to contemplate impermanence? Yeah. Even for the 5 minutes I told you contemplate, but you still do not get it.
Why?
Because it's a wisdom not stop yet. 7. Understand?
Yes.
So if you contemplate impermanence for many times, the wisdom becomes sharp. Next time when you meet with Buddha tells you everything is impermanent, immediately you become a Arahant.
Thank you.
Okay. So, any questions?
First question one is, so let's consider a wholesome universe for mental health. One is wetness. So, is it all wetness? Is it all
wetness? Or, of course, sure.
Is it the same as a
Boundary of what?
Contact and healing.
I think they arise together. You know, if you read Abhidhamma, I told just now, for example, when the great one, taking food, all these 19 mental factors, contact, healing, perception, all arise together. You know. But Buddha in Sutta where always keep dependent on contact healing, you know, in order to make you understand better. If you say all the rest together, you're very confused. You know, you cannot understand. So in order to make you understand clearly, now because of contact healing arise, because of healing craving arise. It comes so quick. The moment you have present healing, you're craving is there already. So quick, you know. It's no mountain arise together. But you can choose. You know, if you look, if you contemplate contact impermanence, no, cannot see contact impermanence. Okay, go to the feeling. Feeling is very clear, you know. Contact is very difficult to discern. Feeling is very clear. If you can contemplate your present feeling, oh, impermanent. But still, if you sometimes because of negligence or not mindful, never mind, feeling already develop up to craving, you still can contemplate craving. But if you fail to contemplate craving, then the craving goes to clinging already. Then cannot help. You perform karma already.
So you're talking about
So, am I correct? So, what is here? So now it's already illusion because the object I suppose here is already past. So, I must be present new or past. Sometimes it's present object, past object, future object. Sometimes it's present object. Your breath is present object. And the mind of your breath is present, it's not a part of it.
So the mind contact was the eye contact. The eye contact is visual, the color and eye consciousness, and then eye, right? And then I guess the question is when the eye consciousness, when it sees an object, and then the next the mind
is part of it.
What is the object?
It's half a
step.
Right. Only the eye see the present one. Only the five door, you know? Eye, door, connective process, ear, door, nose, tongue, body, see the present one. Follow my mind door, already past. But past then, present again, because your eye keep on taking the object, you know? So I keep on thinking of the eye door arise, follow my many mind door, then eye door again, follow my many mind door, then eye door again, follow my many mind door. So present, past.
But the first eye door comes, the sequence doesn't produce some image, so that the mind door can remember.
Yeah, of course.
So what is it?
Just like
another
what? Rupa. Rupa. Yes, Papa Rupa. I think it's a memory. For example, you see, just now I mentioned the color. First color, then after that, this color, the lifespan of color disappears. Finish. So the mind door takes the past color. It's a past object. Become the past object. Become our, as you say, our memory.
So the eye
comes,
the first eye door comes to the seventh to you. Something for the mind door.
What do you think for this something? Something is what?
Like
another rupa.
Yeah, another rupa.
No, not another rupa. Not another rupa. But then, when this color arrives in part of it, doesn't mean that life and color things then disappear completely. Because rupa is arising in part in the way, mind also arising in part in the way. So this color, after pass away, arise again, pass away, arise again, pass away, arise again. That's why I often say when you see arising and passing away, it's very swift one. Not only one arising, but long time passing away. That is not incompetent. The real incompetent arising, passing away, arising, passing, you really see the long gap in between. This causes suffering. Arising, passing, arising, this causes suffering.
But the color is not the mind or object.
Past color is my door object. Present color is my door object. So all the five senses only take present one. The eye cannot see the past color one. I only can see the present. But my door only sees the past. So we have past memory. We can remember the past. Recollecting the past life, all up by mind. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
How do you
say? How do you take? Wisdom recommends. Wisdom for Tony will recommend. We have one mental sector called wisdom. This wisdom for Tony can recommend. This all our vibration, all our rising is passing away. All our illusion. This one mental sector called wisdom can recommend this. And this wisdom is not I, not mine, not myself. It's just a mental factor. It's like Buddha already, and this wisdom must be developed up to the highest degree. Only you can realize all are emptiness, all are void, all are empty.
So that wisdom is the same in all kinds.
Walk.
The wisdom stays the same. In other words, it's not different wisdom for different people or different persons. Wisdom is the same wisdom for all kinds.
No. Wisdom has degrees.
Degrees.
Has many degrees, you know? For example, our wisdom cannot compare with Buddha's wisdom. Our wisdom cannot compare with Buddha's wisdom. Wisdom got degrees, you know?
Yeah.
Different degrees. You've got to develop it. Up to the highest degree. Our wisdom now cannot see everything is empty. Everything is vibrating, you know. Scientists only use microscopes, you know. in order to see all the particular arising and passing away. But if you develop the wisdom, you can see the whole body are composed of billions of particular arising and passing away. Do you mean what is the wisdom consists? Excuse me? Do you mean that?
Yeah, I
understand.
Okay. Do I understand you to say that if I see a color like yellow, then an eye door cognitive process comes up, then a mind door cognitive process, then the next one is again an eye door because it is still coming, or just many mind doors?
Many mind door after that one eye door. If only one mind door, you still don't know the object, what's the name, what's the form. But many mind door in order to know form.
Depending on your wisdom level?
No, not the process, everybody experiences. Wisdom level only see the impermanence, suffering and non-self of that object. So we see without wisdom. We only see all the conventional truth. We do not see ultimate truth. That ultimate truth only can be penetrated through wisdom. That's why in Buddha speaking, wisdom is very important. We come to meditation to cultivate wisdom. Partly because of the past karma. But past karma, you may not develop into the full strength yet. It only may develop a little bit. Not yet. Not fully developed yet. You have to continue in this life. You have to continue it. If not, you still cannot see the ultimate reality. If you don't have the wisdom in the past today, you are unable to sit here and listen to this profound teaching. You have the wisdom in the past, but not up to the highest level.
This either part cognitive process, suppose you are looking at something and recognizing it, the length of this process, is it depend on how much concentration you have?
The length?
Yes. Length. How long?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
like
concentration?
It's
always
17 miles. It's always 17. The length,
no,
it's always
17. No, how many times?
How many times? It depends on your attention. If your attention again and again, of course, you will see it again and again. No, if you want to see this, for example, a man see the beautiful woman, you know, attention again and again, and this arrives again and again, again and again. Depend on attention. Same as your mindfulness of our breath. If your attention is not coming to the breath again, then you see the breath again and again and again. The attention goes somewhere else, you cannot feel the breath anymore.
Right.
No, most of the time, mind though. Mind is very fast. One blink of eye, 3 billion. Consciousness of when it
happens.
With more powerful concentration, maybe it's just discerned. Right. Buddha can see one by one, and Buddha can give you the destination. This is called five thought awakening, this is called great, this is decision, this is mindfulness, this is sati, this is concentration. Some are very close. Perception, decision are very close, and Buddha can define one by one. This is the wisdom of the Buddha. Okay, last question. No more?
Is it clear?
Clear.
Actually, I have one question.
I think so. But this is a little off the subject, but it's still an Abhidhamma question. I have tried to read, and it talks about characteristics, proximate calls, near thoughts. Could you give brief definitions of those, and then, like, take an example of attention and say what they are?
Okay. Characteristics. characteristic is salient point. It's salient point. For example, greed has a characteristic of because we have to remember all 52, you know. It's in the book very clearly. I forgot the characteristic of the greed. The characteristic one, number two is function. Function is the job he plays. What function he plays. The characteristic is a salient quality of that mental factor or object. And then last, number three is manifestation.
Right.
Manifestation means how it appears in a meditation's mind. In a meditator's mind. For example, consciousness. Okay. Characteristic of consciousness is awareness. This characteristic. The function is forerunner of mental factors. And the manifestation of the consciousness is a continuous process. It appears in the meditator's mind, this consciousness. It manifests in the meditator's mind. And this consciousness is a continuous process, one after another, one after another. It's not a self. So it manifests in meditator's mind. It is a continuous of the process. And the cosmic cause of consciousness is mind and body, mind and nature. So if you can understand this mental factor, first characteristic, second function, third manifestation, and the fourth cosmic cause, then you find no self. No self nature becomes even clearer to you. So you understand this
form?
Yes. So consciousness characteristic is what? Today you ask me what consciousness and perception. Consciousness characteristic is just awareness. So it's very clear you can touch yourself. When something strikes you, you're aware. The mind is like aware something comes already. This is called consciousness. Then the function is the forerunner of mental factors. Because it arrives, mental factor arises. Then the third, it manifests in yourself, in your inside knowledge. It's a continuous one. One after another, one after another. It's a process. It's not a person, it's not a beginning. It's just a process. And the proximate cause, meaning the near cause. What is the cause for the consciousness to arise? Because of mind and matter. Because of matter, object, in things that I, the consciousness arises. And also because of associated mental factors that consciousness arise. Okay, so I'll give you a comment.
Would this process happen for nirvana as well? So that there
nirvana or nirvana?
Yeah. Like, because they always speak of seeing or touching nirvana. And I wonder, does the eye consciousness process or cognitive process begin and then many minds or mind only?
Of mind only, because not for eye. Nirvana is mental state, so cannot use eye to see nirvana. Mind in mind. And this my book has explained when a person sees nirvana, what is the concept. It's a different, very different from this one. Dhyana process is also different from this one. My book has explained it.
Because some people say that the maga follows the path and fruit. This one follows the other very quickly. So the path consciousness to the, let's say, stream entry and the fruit of that, one right after the other. But there is one sutta where somebody wants to give to a stream enterer and someone on the path to stream entry, and he gives to all eight people like this. He would not be able to find eight people if really one moment after the next the person, you know, there would only be four or six people. How do we resolve?
This consciousness is this sotapanna maga, sotapanna pala. We call it person because they divide it into moment to moment. Actually, it's only one person. Sotapanna is only one person. We got sotapanna, two person, you know. Why they divide into it? Because they consider maga three and three before Magga, touch consciousness only one moment. Fusion consciousness another moment. So become two. So become three and three for two. Then Sakadagami for two become six and two. Actually, it's only one person.
But then there's no such person who's destined to be the Supreme Mentor?
Why destined to be Supreme Mentor? What do you mean destined to be
Supreme Mentor? The Sutra is described as not the Abhidhamma way of one moment separating those two, but as if somebody in this life is going to be a Supreme Mentor, so that it is known. I don't know how it would know or how that person would know that they're going to be a Supreme Mentor, so they're on the path of Supreme Mentor. Mm-hmm. And then before they pass away, they gain Supreme Mentor.
Okay, I don't know. You must still be clear with what they said. Okay, so that's all. Okay. Is it clear to you?
Clear?
I'm so surprised you say clear. I'm really surprised because to me it sounds so profound and so complicated, and yet you can comprehend it, so your wisdom is great.